Welcome to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast, coming to you from Gilbert, Arizona. We pray that God will bless your time as you listen.
Is the Lord in our midst or not? Good question. The last line of our passage from the Hebrew Scriptures this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the third Sunday of Lent. For parishes like ours that have elect in the community, the first of the three scrutinies is celebrated together, the home stretch before the elect enter the church during the Easter Vigil. So for this week and the next two, we hear passages from the Gospel of John proclaimed. So we're back to the question, is the Lord in our midst or not? I look at the world today and sometimes I wonder. In 1908, the Times of London newspaper asked a number of authors to write on the topic, what's wrong with the world? G.K. Chesterton, a well-known writer known for his flowery prose and well-reasoned arguments and defense of the faith, and not for his brevity, provided the shortest answer of those submitted. He simply wrote, "Dear sirs, I am. Sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton." I mention this because there's so much going on in the church nowadays, some of it good, some of it not so good. It's easy to blame someone else for what's going on, but Chesterton had it right. Yes, I am what's wrong with the world. But don't think this will be some kind of tell-all confession. And don't think that lets you off the hook, because you're what's wrong with the world too. Think about this. In the beginning, God created everything from nothing. The crowning achievement of his creation was the human being, Adam and Eve. He made his first of seven covenants with them and gave them dominion over all creation. But their pride led them to sin against him and to lose all he wanted them to have. So God had to put a plan of salvation. The great flood was one of those steps. God tells Noah that he will never again destroy the earth. He gives Noah a rainbow as a sign of his covenant with them, the second covenant. Let us remember this covenant every time we are fortunate to see a rainbow. God's third covenant was with Abraham and his descendants, keeping them safe. The fourth was with Moses, giving him the fortitude to lead the Jews out of Egypt and from the Pharaoh who raised him from a baby toward the promised land, toward freedom. But Moses and his generation didn't quite make it. Why? Well, we hear one of the reasons today. They grumbled against Moses and against God. Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? The fifth covenant was with David, who God raises up as a great king and who leads Israel into becoming a world power. The sixth covenant is described in the book of Jeremiah. It is a new covenant that will last forever. Its law is written in human hearts, and it gives everyone true knowledge of God. And every one of these six covenants is in a very real sense a marriage covenant, as is the seventh and final covenant, the covenant between Christ and his bride, the church. As a brief aside, St. John Paul's theology of the body is going to renew the church and the world because it is a recognition and reflection on how the love of God is expressed through the human person, male and female. To get the attention of the Jews, God sends his only begotten Son to them, but they still haven't learned. Jesus is for the most part rejected by them. But we should not be surprised. And if I may, let me tell you what a man much smarter than me in these matters, St. Augustine of Hippo, wrote about today's gospel passage. The Samaritan woman is a symbol of the church not yet made righteous, but about to be made righteous. And we did hear in the gospel that Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans, The fact that she is at the well in the heat of the day means she has done something shameful, as we also heard. Augustine continues, she is a symbol of the church. The church was to come from the Gentiles, of a different race from the Jews. We must then recognize ourselves in her words and in her person, and with her give our own thanks to God. She was a symbol, not the reality. She foreshadowed the reality, and the reality came to be. She found faith in Christ, who is using her as a symbol to teach us what was to come. She came then to draw water. She had simply come to draw water. He asked for a drink, and he promises a drink. He is in need as one hoping to receive, yet he is rich as one about to satisfy the thirst of others. He was promising the Holy Spirit in satisfying abundance. If only she could hear those words, come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Jesus was saying this to her so that her labors might be at an end, but she was not yet able to understand. Maybe it is sometimes that we still don't understand, at least not fully, myself included. We, by virtue of our baptism, are sent on a most important mission, that of joining St. Paul and the other apostles in carrying out, to the best of our ability, Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. To make sure this happens, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, God sends us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and the church until he sends his Son once again. So to go back to my earlier question, why are we what's wrong with the world? Because Jesus has put everything into place that is needed to save the world, and we still reject him in little ways and in big ways. He is the head and we are his body, not the Methodists or the Mormons or the Muslims or anybody else. While these others may have bits and pieces of the truth, capital T, it is only in the Catholic Church that the fullness of revealed truth can be found. And we also have that other capital T, tradition. We have the fullness of God's revelation, the Logos, his word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are God's vehicles for the salvation of the world. He relies on us to do what needs to be done, and we are not doing it, and I'm afraid we just don't take that responsibility seriously. And while the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, the effects of our spiritual laxity have caused and is still causing great harm to the church and to the world. That is because we are not carrying out our missions as Catholics. We are baptized into Christ's mission as priest, prophet, and king, and for the most part, we act like timid little lambs. We should be warriors. We are, after all, the church militant. Among the first words of Jesus' public ministry were, repent and believe in the gospel. We need to repent of our sins and take advantage of the sacraments, particularly the sacrament of confession. Now, only recently I learned that the church considers confession at least as powerful as a major exorcism. You know, that's the kind you see depicted in the movies. With priests here at St. Anne's hearing confession so many hours each week, there is no excuse for us to not avail ourselves at least once a month of that sacrament. Get right with God in the confessional, then realize what a true gift it is to be able to receive him in the Eucharist, and then receive him in awe. This is not institutional meatloaf and mashed potatoes served at the school or company cafeteria. It is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Lord in our midst. And pray to God frequently. If all you can say are a few rote prayers, say them periodically throughout the day. An Our Father, a Hail Mary, a Glory Be, maybe the Jesus Prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Over time, add the Memorare and the St. Michael Prayer. Attend daily Mass if you can make the time. It's Lent. Try it once a week until Easter, instead of giving something up. Do something more for God and for yourself. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to command you each day to do His will, to make you sure that you always keep your mind on Jesus. Be a child of God and a soldier for Christ. Demonstrate to the world by your life that you, like the Samaritans in today's gospel, know that He is truly the Savior of the world.
Thank you for listening to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast. For additional podcasts and media, visit us on the web at www.stanneaz.org. Again, that's www.stanneaz.org. St. Anne, pray for us.